right. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. This cat is going to be coming down here. Babe, get that cat out here, okay? I hear its bell. It's going to terrorize me. I hear it. It's around here. No. You have to get it out, please. Praise God. Hold on. All right, praise God. We are definitely looking forward to our guest tonight. And we are going to... Okay. We got Jim... Williamson, okay? So, you know, I have to get like 2.0 reading glasses or something because this MacBook over here, it's like 5 feet away. I can, you know, it's getting, I don't know. But getting back to that, I'm in the chat box and some people in there. You can join us every week in there. If you're on the internet, if radio people don't want to be on the internet, I don't blame you, but if you ever do, you go to the main site, nextcrusade.com. On the top there, I put a link. People still go to the old chat room on there. Just don't go there. Just click on the MixLR/ Watchmen, M-E-N, radio, / Watchmen Radio. So we got that going on. We got Jim going to be joining us. Redbeard going to chime in. And it's, you know, summer's ending. On a side note, the Faith Radio Project is alive and well. Pretty much caught up. A couple people I know I have to get out. Some to England. Folks out there that have not received them, radio listener people, please contact us. Demonic mail lady here is coming against us. But... we should be caught up almost. So get a hold of us. Faith Radio, what is it? Very important, okay? Faith cometh by hearing, meaning manifest by hearing. Listen, I've compiled, okay, over the years, the best material I could ever find, okay, regarding faith, regarding deliverance, and the worship songs Maria has compiled on there. Just to get you, listen, I got to touch on something on that tonight, by the way. I forgot about that. So, the Faith Radio Project has all that information on there as far as to hear. I don't want to get into it right now. But on a side note, Strike the Head of the Serpent is ramping back up. Reloaded. Strike the Head of the Serpent. New team, new folks, new people. Many people that were involved are not involved. Let's face it, the ministry, hardcore in New York City here. So we are ramping up at a static location every week. We're going to try it out. We're going to go forward every week doing healing and mass deliverance, bringing in speakers, talk to Russ Dizdar. He's, wanting to come, a couple other people. So we're going to have, speakers coming in and, ramp up from there. Do the advertisement, artwork's being done now. Building a deal is in the closing process. And we should be good to go. You know, I've been trying to ramp up with this for a year straight now. So, New York City, right here in Glendale, Queens. Real easy to get to from the rail. You can take the metro. I'm going to go over that. If folks want to come in on the metro, there's going to be an easy way to come in on a train and so on and so forth. Not going to be in Midtown Manhattan. It wasn't convenient in Midtown Manhattan for me anyway, lugging gear and stuff around. It just was, we're going to try this, okay? It's not that far from Manhattan, really. Okay, so I just want to talk. You know what? I got to get Redbeard on, but let me just touch on something here because this is important. The Lord is in. Last week we touched on. What are we talking about last week? Last week we focused in on, okay, the mark of God, meaning in the book of Ezekiel, there's angels have went out during the land being so polluted and abominated, okay, it was. And during that time, there was a season where the Lord sent angels to put a mark on those that were weeping and mourning for the transgressions of the land. And my point of that was that so many folks take the carefree high road in this season, and they're just like, hey, well, it's end times. You know, it might be, but in the same token, we have to still get before the Lord and intercede and lift these things up to the Lord continually. That's faith, because we just don't know with the Lord. He can change and delay things. We, like David, King David, he was a prophet, King David. He says, who knows with the Lord? That's what he said. Who knows? Because they were confused about him staying out, laying in the dirt, because he got in trouble. Most of you know the story, but the baby was at a wedlock, and a curse was on that baby, and he was standing in the gap praying, and after he found out the baby passed away, they were confused. They said, well, why are you eating now? We thought you'd be more miserable and keep fasting. And, you know, he said, who knew it with the Lord? Meaning, he had to try. He had to try. Because you just don't know. There's a lot of folks out there that think they know. And they're the scary ones. So if you ever run into people, a lot of people, you know, they think they got everything figured out. Just get away from them. Because they don't got nothing figured out. Because we're all here in part and prophesy in part. And that's very important in Corinthians. But let me get into this. I want to go back a week or two where I was talking about demonic canopies, demonic doors, demonic gateways, because I really believe that this is the reason for so many folks not getting a breakthrough, and the reason revival not breaking, and the reason for a lack of even repentance being poured out. These demonic canopies have been set up over regions of land. This is why spiritual warfare is so important. So important, because let me tell you something. The devil has been ramping up. Now, I'll touch on something here, because many of you know, I sort of talk about a warlock named Aleister Crowley. He was famous for opening demonic portals. Okay, demonic gateways. And one account, they couldn't get this demon to manifest, named Lamb. I touched on this, L-A-M. And they actually, I think, were told by the demon or some other demon, spiritual counsel from their side, to have a homosexual act. Okay, you can research this. It was from Jack Parson. And Aleister Crowley, cultists are very familiar with this. And they had to entertain the sexual act to get this demon to surface, to open this door, to open this porthole, to open this gate of evil. Because they want evil to flow. They want demonic messengers to come forth. They want their plans and their evil, wicked nature to manifest with the spirits, completely contrary to what we're about. Children of light. So, heavenly gates are very important. So, I want to touch on this. There's demonic doors and there's heavenly doors. Now, closing these demonic doors is one of the reasons that there's so many that are standing for breakthrough. And you might find, well, I'm standing in faith. But in the same token, they're not realizing these demonic canopies that are blocking angels from coming through. A lot of people, this is, say this isn't real anymore because, you know, all the principalities are tore down and Jesus Christ destroyed everything. And everything is just, it's all done. Meanwhile, there's more wickedness, more evil, more demons than ever before, more possessions, more pornography, more lust, more wickedness over nations than ever before. If that was true, then everything would be more godliness, more heaviness, more things of the Lord, more spiritual flow, kind of glory flow. There would just be, there would be an abyss. You know, just a complete flow with the Lord. But because there's demonic activity in the spirit realm, like I touched on this earlier, they did this homosexual act. Now, this is Revelations 4. We see that John saw a door in the heavenly. He was going up levels. And I know people take this level thing and they run with it and nothing happens. But this is very important because there are heavenly doors. And we see come up hither. He was going up into a different level. Most of these cake-baked flim-flammers talk about these levels and nothing happens. They get like a kundalini flow. They fall down. That's it. Nothing else. But I want to touch on this verse here in Proverbs 28, verse 2. It says, for the transgression of the land, many are the princes. Proverbs 28, verse 2. Now, this nation, I believe this country is struggling for a breakthrough and revival. And because it was initially started out with the Lord and it's fallen, it's trying to get back. And because of that, we're in a quite different scenario than you hear about a lot of miracles going on in other nations that were totally ungodly, and they're coming over to God, and then God seems to be pouring out more there, and you're like, why is that? And I've been thinking about this for years, so I'm talking about this. And the reason I believe, I'm not certain, but I believe it's these demonic principalities that have set, it says, because of the transgression of the land. Now, there's different levels of transgression. Now, specifically, the killing of innocents, the blood of innocents, is a very heavy bondage for transgression of the land. Book of Jeremiah, this is unpardonable sin, the blood of innocents in Jeremiah. Now, we see a lot of that going on in this country. And because of it, it's continually building up these princes. Remember Proverbs 28, verse 2. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes or principalities, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And what do? We know in Daniel 10, verse 13, what they do. They develop these canopies that block what? Messengers of God. Your prayer could be have heard day one, but there could be a warfare on bringing it through. Now, this is the good news. You can participate by understanding and being illuminated to this revelation. When this revelation, you see these demonic flows in the heavenly atmospheres, principalities and rulers in heavenly places. That's what we're warring against. They are in the atmospheres. Now, we can participate in bringing them down through spiritual warfare. Very important. Worship and praise and fasting will open heavenly doors. We can participate in what? In building a Jacob's ladder where angels are ascending and descending at ease, and they do it for us because we have the Holy Ghost. But in the same token, there is still warfare, trying to thwart your blessing, trying to keep you from receiving a revelation, or you've been asking God for direction and you haven't been getting an answer, or you've been seeking God for deliverance or healing, whatever it might be. There could be a blessing that is being stopped, and you need to take action to work in bringing it through. Now, very important that, you know, a lot of this, what I'm talking about, I got from Dr. D.K. Oglia, okay? He writes books and kind of broken English because he's from Africa, or I don't know, it translates from that. I don't know. But there's one book there. This is a cheap book. It's not much money. It's called Commanding the Morning, I think. I can't remember, but I'm going to find out. But I think that's the name of it. And that book, a little book, will go over a lot of what I'm talking about. But he's in an area of high-level witchcraft. And because of that, he's dealing with a lot of these canopies himself. But he goes into this whole detail about getting up early and begin to speak to the heavenlies, to speak to these demonic doors and gates that the fire of God would burn them out of his way. To sever them out of his way. And begin to talk to the elements or any witches or warlocks that have been programming things against your life. And they do. Covertly. Because they know you're a believer and they get rewards in the demonic for coming against you. But you just don't know it. Many don't know that. But knowing that, you can turn these situations around. By how? By speaking to, listen, Joshua spoke to the sun, didn't he? Thou sun, stand. Listen, they have been spending the night using demonic lunar powers, the phases of the moon, to bring certain things to pass. Send spirits. Send demonic spirits of lust, incubi, whatever they're going to use. Spirits of destruction, sickness, and disease, pain, suffering, and torment. But I'll tell you, these go back and is a boomerang coming their way. So the sons of darkness, band position when you get into a revelation, an arraignment, an understanding that you are going to start participating in turning these things around, not just for that, the warlocks and witches and covens and the like, but I'm talking also about demonic portholes that have already been opened through curses and generational things in your life. So 1 John 1:9-ing all these things, very important. And that's why the Deliverance Ministry in New York City was successful. Many people got free because of the 1 John 1:9, the whole concept of confessing your sins and your forefathers' sins. Very important. That closes these demonic reaches into your life. Boom, shut. Now, don't you want them shut? There could be something reaching from the past or something reaching through a soul tie that was formed from an ungodly union, and it's hindering from you from going forward in ministry, going forward for healing and deliverance for your own life, going forward for rhema and understanding of the Word of God. Many, many aspects. So these demonic claws coming through these gates need to be shut. I'm telling you. And these canopies can come down through the fire of God. Warfare is the key. It's the key. And once you get into this, and once you begin to start working in the heavenlies against these elements, against these covens that are very active on Facebook, using your pictures and photographs, oh yeah, the freshest ones they want, whatever they can get a hold of. Astral projecting, astral traveling, you know. And they just don't realize how much trouble they can get in for that, but let me tell you, the Lord has had it in this end time season. I got to get Redbeard on. Stand by. Yeah. Yeah, I hope he's there. I got to also get Jim on.
Hello.
Yeah, Redbeard, you're on. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
You don't hear us?
I hear you now.
Okay. I want you to touch on, in the few minutes you have, I'm only going to give you a few minutes, of talking about the, a lot of people are disappointed about this Shekita.
The Shemitah year.
Yeah, Shekita. So talk about that and how that's an error. You know, it's not... you can't really figure that out in this season. Can you just explain that? Because it'll make you look good.
Well, we lost the Shemitah year when we went into exile, and the Shemitah year is actually in the Bible is the 7 year period that we're supposed to every 7 years allow the land to rest for 1 year. So the children of Israel didn't allow the land to rest the whole time they were there. So the Father judged them and sent them out of the land for 70 years by the prophet Jeremiah, which was 1 year for every Shemitah year that they didn't observe. They received judgment. But the Shemitah year was only commanded to the children of Israel when they were in the land. So to say the Shemitah year is affecting America, you cannot say that at all according to Scripture, because it's only the land of Israel. The chosen land, the promised land that the Father had given to the children of Israel, because he said, when you go into the land, every 7 years, allow the land to rest for 1 year. If we remember when the children of Israel first went into the land, he told them to not partake of the crops for 3 years, but on the end of the third year, they could harvest the crops of the land, and it would be unto them. But then after that third year, they were supposed to every seventh year allow the land to rest for a year. That's what we call a Shemitah year. So, but it's only when we're possessing the land of Israel. And even right now, Jerusalem, Israel is a 7 by 21 mile stretch of land. We're still not possessing the entire land. So I think they should be allowing the land to rest once a year, even though they only possess a small part of it. But what Jonathan Cahn, I believe what his mistake was trying to say that the American economy, because of the collapse in 2001 and the collapse in 2008, was on the Shemitah cycle. And then he kind of projected that we were now headed to that third stage of that Shemitah cycle, and we still didn't let the land rest, so we were going to get judgment. So everybody was expecting this huge economic collapse. They were expecting, you know, basically the world to go insane this year because it was the third Shemitah cycle, and it didn't. So everybody was a little disappointed about that, but the reason it didn't is because America is not the promised land. And we are a Gentile nation for all accounts, so therefore we do not have to observe the Shemitah year. I mean, we should, and when Yeshua, Jesus, is there ruling and reigning, every place will observe the Shemitah year. But until he's here, that Shemitah year is only for the land of Israel.
Okay, so Jeez, you know, this cat walked up onto my mixing board here, and I didn't even have the EQ on. So it steps with its feet, and it's destroying us. Yeah. I just looked down there, and it's we didn't have no EQ, nothing. So signal probably sounded raw going out. But listen, I didn't even know about all this. This whole Shemitah thing, I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
So I missed this. You know, I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry, but evidently it was something that I should have never even got involved in.
Well, we had a couple people on the radio here a few months ago that kind of touched on it a little bit. And the reason being is Jonathan Cahn is the person who wrote the book The Harbingers. And it's a very powerful book, and if anybody wants to get it, I mean, I highly recommend it. It talks about a lot of things that happened in 2001 and 2008.
Yeah.
Very powerful book about testimony and how we...
Well, I never had anybody on talking about that, so I don't know what you mean.
But they...
The Shemitah, I just learned about it just now. So whatever you Shemitah people are and nothing happened, I'm sorry. You know, but... It's like, I didn't even know something was going to happen. I thought we were all like talking about some type of comet or something.
Mm.
I didn't know that there was a Shemitah going on. So I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, and it's going to be the same thing with the blood moons that everybody's projecting. I mean, there's a lot of people. We have never at Watchman Radio, as far as I know, said that the Messiah is going to return at the fourth blood moon. But that's a huge thing that's going on right now.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying right now that Jesus is going to return at Sukkot this year.
I'm missing a lot of things then.
Yeah.
But listen, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, okay? But these blood moons are definitely a sign, and, you know, they're a season of what's going on. When they started the first tetrad cycle, we knew Middle East persecution ramped up like 100-fold. And then after this tetrad cycle appeared here in the United States this year, we saw Christian persecution begin here in America, and I stated that.
Okay? Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's been going on. Okay? So,
and that's what the blood moons had genuinely meant to the people of Israel, is that it would be a time of persecution. And that's exactly what we've seen happen. But we have this other cult group that is going around, you know, basically saying that the Messiah is going to return at the fourth blood moon, which I don't...
I don't even know about this either. The Shekinah and now this return of Christ next week, I didn't even know about that.
Well, you remember all the comet people and all the asteroid people and all them. These people are just trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to, you know...
Listen, I don't even have time to talk about this. Lucky. It's ridiculous. Jeez. And it's scaring me. You're saying that they think he's coming back next week or something?
Oh, yeah. The next October the 5th, I believe, is when the next blood moon will be. And
I thought it was like September 27th or something.
Or 28th. September 28th, yeah. Sorry. It was September the 28th.
Jeez.
We're supposed to have
the
last blood moon.
I don't even know what to say about this. I'm sorry, people, that you've been listening to wackos. I'm sorry. It's just the way it's going right now. And there's a lot of wackos out there. Now, I will tell you this. We definitely are in a season of persecution. We're going to see more here in this country. And this Scobama guy, he's going to make sure of it. He's up to something, I assure you. He's not done yet. As I predicted over the years, in 2007, 2000, what this guy would be. Everything I said about him is true. Okay? This guy is a weasel, and he's been turning the screws. And you never seen him denounce he wasn't a Muslim. Did you? No. Because there's something about... This guy is an Allah moon god worshiper. That's why.
Absolutely.
And this whole Trojan horse thing with the refugees, you know, this is what he wants. To spread terror, destruction, and persecution to Christianity. And that's exactly what he's been doing. And secretly funding them.
Absolutely.
That's what's really going on.
We armed them. We used them to try to overthrow Assad. It didn't work. They just went crazy, moved into Turkey, moved into Iraq, moved into Afghanistan, and have basically taken over those lands now. Notice that, you know, of the thousands and thousands of supposedly refugees, not one Muslim nation is opening their doors to them. There's a reason for that. There is a reason for that.
What is it?
Because they know that these people are embedded with ISIS. Look at all the people that got off the ship in Greece.
Yeah.
There may have been one woman to every 100 military-age men.
My God. Yeah. Well, listen. Like, it is the end times, and a lot of people throw their arms up, but like I touched on earlier, we need to get before the Lord and just cry out and keep standing in faith for crusades and revivals and going forward like we're doing here. We've got to keep going, people. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? So we got to keep doing the exploits, because those that know their God in these end times, season of the Antichrist system, shall do great exploits. And that's
right.
That's just not running and hiding. That's the work of the Lord in this hour. And I'm going to get Jim Williamson on. Okay? Stand by. Stand by, Redbeard.
I'm here.
Think you're a man because you got a beard. That's funny.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Yes?
Let me turn you up a bit. Check, 1, 2.
Check, 1, 2.
Okay. All right, you definitely got your internet going in the background. You want to close that window?
Okay, gee, I didn't know I did.
Yes,
yeah.
Looping back.
Okay. It's gone.
Okay. Number one, how do you pronounce your last name?
Wilhelmson?
Well, I was close. I was actually closer than anybody, probably.
Well, good.
Willem Simpson. Now, do you have a beard?
Yes, I do, actually.
What? Oh, jeez. Great, so Redbeard's going to love you.
So we got two men on in one face.
Yeah, and the bathhouse boy here, right?
No, I shaved it one time when I was 33 because I've had a beard since I was 19, got out of the Army. And at 33, I wanted to see what I looked like. My wife and kids never even saw me without a beard. I wondered what I looked like. And fortunately, I got dark hair. It grew back right away because what I saw was just not anything I wanted to be.
Well, I bet you your beard's better than Redbeard's.
That wouldn't be hard to do.
Redbeard looks like he had a dead squirrel he's carrying around.
Well, but, back in the days when I was a biker, I used to wear mine the same way, but I keep it pretty trimmed.
I'm trying to become a biker.
Oh, yeah?
I would like it, you know? I'd like to just make noise and drive around here. All right, so bottom line is this. I'll get your contact information. You have a website, I imagine.
Right, yeah, echoesofenoch.org.
Echoesofenoch.org. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to, Sammy read through a lot of stuff you were putting out and probably what we were just talking about, something of that nature. So care to elaborate on, I mean, we do agree we're in an end time season, but like I think we touched on earlier, there's a lot of wackos going around right now, isn't there? I mean.
Well, you know, that the thing is, there is a lot of voices saying things and. You know, it has to go back to being rightly divided by the word. I mean, there's two Greek words for word, logos and rhema, and they have to be working together in tandem. If you have one or the other without the other, you get off on extremes. And I'm afraid, you know, and everybody wants to throw stones at everybody. You're a false prophet. You're a wolf in sheep's clothing. What I see basically is immaturity. I see people that have a gift that are getting part of a picture, but they are not developed in their gift. They don't know what to say, what to say, and how to say, and what audience they're supposed to be saying to. And this only comes from time. You know, I've been a Christian for 41 years, most of it in the prophetic, but you learn by a lot of errors. How you grow from that is whether you're able to be humble before God and before man. You know, if you make a mistake, you say it. You know, we're actually very fortunate in the New Testament times. We don't get to die for being wrong. You know, it's something that we can grow and develop, but we have to be humble and admit that we made a mistake, ask, you know, apologize. But how many, even big name people that prophesy and they get it all wrong? Most of them I know just backpedal and try to explain, well, I wasn't totally wrong. This is sort of right. Yeah. It's in here. And then they go on to the next sensational non-event that's going to happen.
It's interesting you said that, Jim, because over the years, you know, I've been doing this radio broadcast many years. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's been many people I actually respected and so on and so forth over the years that have missed it real big. Oil gusher people, they were around for a while. And the oil gusher prophets were highly shamed. What happened is they capped that thing and they put out these long, you know, prophetic, thus saith the Lord's, and you know, 2 days later, the thing was capped, and then it was terrifying for them because they just released all this stuff. The bowels of hell have been, you know, the waters of poison, says the Lord. You know, on and on and on and on. And then the thing is capped, and then boom, they're like, well, it's not. It's still leaking. They're lying. And then the waters started to look good to me. I don't know. So, I mean, it's still leaking. Why is it not brown?
Well, so, you know, we've had Comet Elanon was supposed to be a life extinction, you know, comet that was going to hit. It was Comet Ison, you know, and I got so fed up with that. I said, okay, guys, you know, you comet prophets, can we all agree? We know that Wormwood's going to hit someday. It's in the Bible. We know it's going to happen. Can we agree, though, the next one that you're going to say is going to come, since you want more comets, can we call it Comet Moron?
Oh, my God.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, so what I did, and I was concerned with the idea that September 23rd. Now, I have a 300 member congregation that
you're
I belong.
You're talking about CERN on the 23rd, right?
Pardon?
What?
You're talking about CERN in Switzerland, right? On the 23rd.
Take your pick. There's about 12 other things that are going to happen too.
Oh, okay.
Good thing I'm leaving town.
I mean, you know, Google it, man. It'll make your head spin.
I'm out of here.
So, I mean, the thing is that there's supposed to be a pandemic. There's supposed to be a tsunami. There's supposed to be the day that the earthquakes, you know, from the San Andreas and the Madrid Fault hits. It's the day the Yellowstone Park volcano pops. It's the day that the Pope and the Obama are coming together to meet. And there's some based on, believe it or not, pilot film for Roswell, which is kind of a teenage melodrama with under a, you know, an alien backdrop, mentions in the movie September 23rd. So all of a sudden they've made the connection that this means that the Obama and the Pope are going to announce disclosure that we've actually been in contact with aliens and are coming down to help us out in our troubles or something of that nature.
Oh my God.
There are so many different things that are supposed to happen. Some people that actually are very creditable and have a good track record of prophecy have one person had a dream that a comet hit Costa Rica and will cause a tsunami. Others say that this is the day of the dollar because it's Yom Kippur, that it's the day the dollar is going to crash and create a world.
Okay, so there's a lot of stuff that's been said, right? Okay, so
all of this is supposed to be on the 23rd. Some of them are, they're a little more flexible. They say from the 23rd up till about October sometimes. So,
but
still, you know, the thing is, okay, my sermon was basically on the idea of sustaining faith. Where is your faith? If everything should happen, if one or two things should happen, or if nothing happens, it shouldn't change your faith and your relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely.
There should be just a skip and a beat. God is on, he's in control.
My God, I didn't know all this stuff was happening. I've been I'm missing out on the Shekinah.
Well,
I'm missing out on this return of Christ next week.
That's the other thing. Okay, there's a rapture. That's some of them have dated that this is the day of the rapture too.
Yeah, I'm way off. I mean, I'm missing out on a lot of stuff this week. But
well, Rich, don't feel... on September 23rd, CERN, the big science thing there.
I thought that blew up. It's not working.
No. They're supposed to activate CERN to its highest level yet. It's supposed to open up a black hole and create a whole new universe, completely destroy.
Okay, so we're gonna do it. Listen, I don't want to mock all these things because it could be something happening. I don't know.
My sermon, I say, look, I can give you a scenario where all of these events could happen, and it could be a domino effect. But I
don't have any spiritual revelation. The Lord, I felt like the Lord told me at the beginning of the year that there would be some form of massive earthquake. Mm-hmm. But again, that hasn't seemed to have taken place. Of other parts of the world, it seems to be happening.
You know, we've had so many false starts, and it's coming down to a Chicken Little thing. I am skeptical by nature. I want to investigate everything thoroughly before and prayerfully before I, you know, commit to anything. And basically, anything that hasn't happened yet in the future, I don't commit. Even in my book, have a lot of different scenarios, script backed by scripture. But you know, I say, you know, for anything that hasn't happened yet, we need to stay loose knitted.
Yeah.
Just allow God to develop things the way He has. He's got it all figured out. It's already been done. All we have to do is rest assured that He's on the throne. And if our relationship's right with Him, tomorrow's going to take care of itself. It is interesting to try to find out some of these mysteries, and sometimes it's important just for even, you know, a minimal amount of preparation, which I think is wise to do anyway. I mean, I've got extra, you know, I've got other things as I've been able to afford them, and if I don't, and I go before the Lord and say, well, you know, I can't do this if you really think I need it, you know, believe in you to provide for me.
And I've been buying guitar pedals. I'm way off here.
Well, you know, in a 300-member congregation, when I asked everybody what Jade Helm was, I think one person knew. No one else even knew.
Well,
what
here's
Jade.
The thing. I mean, a lot of this is a topic that we're talking about. Unfortunately, we've talked about this for 13 years on here, and many things do happen, but most of them don't. And the real bad thing about this is this actually can actually hurt people's faith because they put a lot of stock in this.
Yep.
They put a lot of stock in their guru. And it creates a, muddying of the water. And they get discouraged. A lot of people get discouraged because they feel that they weren't hearing from God. And it can create it. I think the enemy uses this to actually obscure the real true word.
Absolutely.
And in the same token, to create that discouragement cycle.
point people to the prophet Jonah. There's no doubt that Jonah heard the voice of the Father to go to Nineveh and tell him he was going to destroy the city in 7 days. But something changed in that process. Nineveh came to a heart of repentance, so it wasn't destroyed. So Jonah wasn't a false prophet. Yeah. He told him exactly what the Father told him to do. Even though the city wasn't destroyed, the Father changed his mind. Now, but a lot of these prophyliers is what I call them.
I coined that.
They go on and just say, well, the Father delayed it. It's going to happen next year. Sometimes we just have to admit, hey, we missed the Father on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming to a heart of repentance on this deal. I really, you know, felt like I'd heard from the Father, so I'm checking my own spiritual eyes and spiritual ears now.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what's necessary when you speak out and it doesn't happen.
That's right. They don't do that, though. They don't do that, Jim. They put the delay mode on, or they say it came to pass spiritually.
That's always
true. I mean, and it's sad. Listen, folks, we want you to know that if you have been listening to these, a lot of these words like this 17 things going to happen next week and it doesn't happen, don't be discouraged. Just know that, you know, we are in a season that a lot of activity in the spirit realm. The enemy is moving. And then in the same token, we know persecution has been ramped up. We know that this is Scobama guy is a wacko. I mean, we're just in uncertain times. And it creates that sense of excitement that, you know, what is going to happen? And we really got to get it on our own. I think that's the key, to start seeking the Lord and asking God to reveal in dreams, reveal spiritual rhema, whatever way he's going to. Because you can get it on your own, too. And we all hear in part and prophesy in part. It's very important to understand that the Lord gives pieces to his body and certain and delegates them in a way.
I love the way he works because he's forcing us to try to be at one. Yeah. We're so busy infighting each other. He's going to give someone of the a Reformed theology one piece, and he's going to give somebody with the Arminius theology another piece. Until they can get together and talk in the same room to each other without beating each other up, then they'll get a bigger, clearer picture. But while they'll still, you know, the word says, Jesus said, they will know of my love, how you have love for one another. Go into any Christian chat room and see what kind of love is being shared. It's
very, very vicious. I always tell people, you know, Christians can be your worst enemy. You know, worse than witches and warlocks. And they destroy with their tongue. It's witchcraft in itself. Many people don't realize that the tongue, the way you use it, is a witchcraft in itself. Because it says through perverse tongue, is a breach in the book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of perverseness in this nation, and there's a lot of perverse talk, slander campaigns, lies going on, and this is creating breaches and breaches, more demonic activity and fountains of strife being opened across the board. And that's why you're not seeing this unity and that oil coming down like Aaron's beard anymore. And not that it wasn't going on in the past, it's just magnifying, because it says in that season of the end time that the love of many would wax cold. That's what we're in. We're in a season of a love waxing cold. And it's a highly demonic season. That's right. Especially in this nation, like I touched on earlier, we have fallen from a place of our moral ground has been lost in many aspects. And when we're looking at this homosexuality taking over the land, and the militant agenda to kill babies, let's just call them babies. They're not a fetus. These are human babies that they're chopping up and selling pieces. This is crazy. I mean, people are actually in shock and traumatized by what's going on. This is traumatizing. I mean, the militant homosexuals and transgenders and an abortion together are enough of a breach to definitely bring some form of judgment to the land. That's why many folks are expecting God to break his silence in some form of a way. Now, we don't know, or we might know, or someone might know, but there's so much muddying of the water, like you said earlier, that it's very hard to discern.
Well, you know, Satan knows he can't come against the obvious. Obviously, we are in the last of the last days. I mean, all the signs are there. Everything's in place. It's just a matter of having them fall in place. Even all these prophecies that are being proclaimed, excuse me, every one of them individually are going to happen. The Bible says they're going to happen.
Yes.
What are the chances for them to all happen at one time? You know, I believe my God is big enough. He can make it all happen at one time. And there could be a possible scenario where that could be. But what if all of them are wrong and there is nothing? You know, the Bible says a judgment against first of the house of God. We have had, as long as I've been a Christian, I mean, I've heard so many. I've been a Christian for 41 years, and I've heard so many different warnings, Chicken Little things. You know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and none of them ever end up happening. That still doesn't keep me from having a deaf ear to watching and considering everything that is being said, because that's what Satan's plan is. He wants us to be so deafened that when the real events happen, everybody is just saying, oh, you know, they roll their eyes and go, oh, no, not again. I'm not going to pay attention to any of it. I still continue to pay attention. I keep pressing forward and standing my ground that eventually these things will happen. I want to be ready and know when they do to prepare in whatever way I can. And maybe I won't be able to prepare anything. How can you prepare for a comet hitting the Earth? Well, you can't. But you know what you can do? Maybe redeem the time more available and start reaching out to people that you know are going to go to a godless grave, and do all that you can to be a voice leading people to Christ. I want to know on that respect, or in that reason anyway. So a lot of these things, the reason why I think there's so many voices is because what I tell people is there has to be balance. You have to understand. It's like making a cake. The Word of God is the cake. That's the foundation. And then icing is all these extra biblical things that, if they are compatible, totally compatible to the Word of God, they're like icing on a cake. That just makes it more enticing, more able to grasp or see. But if they don't have a foundation based in the scripture, then they're junk. Throw it away. Just, you know, discard it. I see so many of these videos on YouTube predicting different things. And you know what their predictions are based on? On movies.
Right.
They get from this movie and that movie.
Well, you got to get rid of that cake thing, because that reminds us of cake bake doctrine.
Well,
but we got a lot of that going on, too.
Right. Well,
you got the cake bake
analogy, though. The cake is the foundation. You can't. So let's reverse it. If you're going to use
it a muffin,
what's set in movies or rock and roll music, and you're going to use that as, oh, see, they're proclaiming this ahead of time because they have to. Well, I understand that. Believe me, I have a comprehension and understanding of the occult mind, probably because I gleaned most of it from my late friend Dave Flynn.
Yeah, they're getting revelation from Hollywood.
Yeah, well, right. And the thing is, there is, the occult mind does believe that as God spoke things out into existence, they believe that they have to speak things out ahead of time before the material world can manifest itself. They have to speak it out ahead of time.
Jeez.
So they're doing it through movies and through music and all the other media. I get it. I understand it. But that's not the Word of God. I don't care what the enemy is telling me he's going to do. I want to know what the Word of God says the enemy is going to do and how he's going to do it. Believe it or not, the Bible can be very detailed and very specific on a lot of events. CERN, I have everybody telling me all the, from based on movies and based on different things. You know what? I got chapter, text, and verse out of Job 41st chapter, 39th chapter, out of Joel and several other scriptures. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen based on what the Word of God says, not what a bunch of dumb movies say or rock and roll songs. That's silly. That's like saying, okay, I'm going to make a cake, but my frosting is the foundation, and then I'm going to use one scripture, which is, you know, the cake itself, and plop it on top of the frosting. Well, you got a big goofy mess. You don't have any substance that is sustaining. And so that's one of the biggest problems. People are not bringing everything back to book, chapter, text, and verse in the scriptures. That is so vitally important. It's not in my universe. I may consider or putting things on a back burner, but until I see it verified, rightly divided, chapter, text, and verse in multiples, then I know that it's something that is for sure. But too many people don't even bother doing that. Too many people don't even know how to do that, and they start basing it on, you know, all kinds of silly stuff without any scriptural foundation. And the other thing, too, is that I compare revelation from God's spirit as being like we're a filter. The oil being poured into a motor. The oil is the Holy Spirit and what he has to tell us, but he has to go our, through our filter into the engine, which would be disseminating it out to the audience. So the thing is, if your filter is clean, then it's going to still basically, the message and the direction that God has given you through Revelation is going to be somewhat pure.
Mm.
But how, now imagine if you take that filter and drop it on the ground, and you don't clean it off, it's all full of dirt and bird doo-doo and grass and other stuff. When that pure oil goes through that filter that's dirty, everything else gets mixed up in it with it.
My God. You got a lot of little things to think about there. Bird dew and cakes.
But, you know, I mean, the point is that what is poured into us is going to have to be processed through where we are in Christ. If we are holding back in the little things, which the Lord warns that it's the little foxes that destroy the harvest.
Yeah. What about Jimmy? He's got birds always trying to do on him. He's, blue jays fly around him.
That's not true.
Yeah. But let me, listen, the bottom line is this, folks.
Yeah.
We are entering into a season of uncertainty in many arenas. I mean, the drums of war. I mean, there's a lot of chaos manifesting. So that's why people are getting all riled up right now and want to roll with some guru, some spiritual voice.
Well, they're running on emotions, Rich, and that's the problem. They get on the internet, they read all this stuff, they know a little bit of scripture, so then their emotions take over and they
try to... It's emotions, you believe?
Well, I believe they try to apply what little scripture knowledge they have to the current world events, and then their emotions, which mainly is fear, drives them into these false prophecies.
Well, it happens, especially the baby Christians. You know, they're getting sucked into this. But the key verse here is Luke 21, verse 36. I want to quote this. It says, "Be always on the watch," the Lord says, "and pray that you may be able to escape the things that are going to happen on the earth." So there is a way where God can warn you or alert you. I believe that. But the key to this is that we should watch and pray and definitely be asking the Lord always. When me and Maria pray, we're always asking the Lord for wisdom and knowledge of events.
Absolutely.
You know, because the Lord can warn you in a dream. A lot of people just disregard dreams. You look through Scripture, the entire Bible was focused on dreams from the beginning to the end.
Yep.
Jesus himself was survived through a dream. Many people don't realize. They look at Matthew, look at Luke. You see, Joseph was directed to go to Egypt in a dream. And also, the wise men were also directed in a dream to avoid Herod in certain cases. So there's a lot of warning and direction in dream. And a lot of folks get dream and they just, well, I just have to eat the pizza. I don't know where that came from. You got to, listen, focus on direction and dreams. Very important.
Yep.
God can be giving you a revelation. And you just got to meditate and ask the Holy Spirit to bring it, to illuminate it. And you'll see it'll come out like a little bit of a puzzle, something like a puzzle. But God will show you what it means. And it could have something to do with your day. It could have something to do with a job or something happening with a family member. Listen. Dreams very important in this season, and we know it says in the Word in the end times that God will be pouring out dreams and visions. So this verse here I was touching on, very important to watch and pray and ask the Lord for that direction that you might escape things. You can escape certain things by rhema and understanding and the Word of God through visions and dreams. How many out there believe that? Amen?
You know, I know a lot of people that believe it, and some that have gone to their churches and told them, I have a dream, and they're usually shushed up. And I'm talking about spirit-filled, full gospel churches that say they believe in all the gifts, but when somebody of no notoriety is saying it, well,
they don't receive it.
They don't receive it.
Because it's a spiritual pride and leadership.
That's one of the good things. It's like the internet is a two-edged sword. The good thing about it is the people that are not going to be necessarily accepted as having a prophetic utterance has the opportunity to share, and the wise will listen to the Spirit bearing witness and not,
yes,
you know, and just consider what is being said, not looking at the person.
That's right.
Downside to that, though, is, and I've been doing this for many, many years, so I know, and I lived in Roswell, New Mexico for 4 years. That tells you a little bit of what my book is about, my deal with the UFO alien deception. Yeah. All X-File and way out there. I'm definitely an out-of-the-box guy, but my core issue is very solid in the Lord. I didn't get brought into this until after 20 years experience as a pastor and working in several other areas in ministry. So
I like to move out there, you know, dwell in a desert or something. My friend Zeph lives out there. Listen, again, 10 to the top hour. Your website again, Jim?
It's echoesofenoch.org or .com. That's echoesofenoch.org or .com. I also have 109 videos posted on YouTube under my name, Jim Wilhelmsen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you.
All right. God bless.
All right, that was Jim. And I pronounced his name correctly, actually. I didn't think I could do it, so I'm getting better. I want to go over real quick. Redbeard, you still there?
I'm here.
I'm sorry I said that about you, squirrel. It does look like a squirrel, though. I'm going to grow a beard one day, and just all you guys are going to envy me. You know? But, yeah, I'd like to have one of those wacky beards, like rubber bands in it. Like, whip it around. I would love that. All right, so here we go. Toll-free number if you for the Faith Radio Project, 877-734-6327. Also, if you need information about the Crusades coming up, the Strike the Head of the Serpent in New York City, healing and deliverance, okay, meetings every Saturday night, you're going to want to call us, 877-734-6327. Mailing address, Watch for Radio, P.O. Box 1576, West Babylon, New York, 11704. And we're getting ready to go off the air. Thank you for joining us. The Lord loves you. We love you. And we'll be back next week by the grace of God. Good night, people. Good night, Jimmy. Good night.